Okay, this afternoon we'll speak about how we can get a pardon on Rosh Hashanah even without tshuva. Isn't that amazing? All right, how do we get a pardon even without tshuva? Easier said than done, right? Easier said than done. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, that says, "Kol hamavir al midotav, mavir menu kol pishav." Anyone who's mavir al midotav. How do you translate that? Mavir al midotav. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, page 17, "Kol hamavir al midotav." Anyone that is mavir al midotav. We don't know what that means yet. Rashi will translate. Mavir menu kol pishav. All of his sins are forgiven, even without tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, page 17. What does Mavri al Midotav mean? Says Rashi, She'enoi midakdek limdod mida limitzaremoto. He's not midakdek. He's not exacting to dish out in measure a person that upsets him, a person that's mitzayer. He walks away. A person that overlooks. A person that lets go. He's not middaktek. He's not exacting limdod. What does limdod mean?
To measure
mida in the same weight, limitzayer moto. Someone was mitzayer him. Someone ashamed him. Someone humiliated him. Someone aggravated him. And he walks away. He overlooks. He doesn't want to take revenge. He doesn't bear ill feelings. He doesn't bear a grudge. Is maviru mimenu kol pishav. You hear? Maviru mimenu kol pishav. Then all of his sins are what? Forgiven. You walk away when someone hurts and wrongs you. You let go. You overlook. You walk away. So midas hadin will walk away from you as well.
What?
Let's make a deal. Remember Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. He was Jewish, by the way. Monty Hall was Jewish. You hear this? What about Shaul? We'll talk. First, let me get it out, and then we'll talk about it. Oh, okay. How do I know? How does the Gemara Shana, page 17, know that someone that's Mavri al-Midosov, someone who overlooks, he's mevater, he lets go. He doesn't hold a grudge. He doesn't try to take revenge those that wronged him. How do we know that midas hadin will walk away from him? There's a pasuk in the book of Micha. The goyim say Micah. Micha, perik zayin, nosa avoin va'over al pesha. God lifts off sin and God removes transgression. God tells the prophet Micha, chapter 7, Nosa avon v'over al pesha. God lifts up sin v'over al pesha and he removes transgression. So the Gemara dashes the verse. Lemi nosa avon. To whom does God remove sin? Lemi sh'over al pesha. If someone, what? Removes a wrong. He doesn't hold the grudge. Someone wronged him. He does lifnim mishuras hadin, who passes over sin against himself. Someone wronged him, and he lets it go. He passes it over. Is mida keneged mida? What does mida keneged mida mean?
Measure for measure.
Measure for measure. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will what? Overlook the wrong that you did against God. If you act lifnim mishuras hadin, how do you translate that in English? Lifnim mishuras hadin. Go beyond the letter of the law. A guy wronged you, upset you, you don't have to forgive him if he doesn't apologize. And yet you do it even if he doesn't apologize, even if he doesn't. So you do lifnim mishuras hadin. So you guarantee that when you upset God, he will also forgive you, even if you don't apologize. Without tshuva. Mida keneged mida. Because God conducts himself, mida keneged mida. The way we conduct ourselves with our fellow human being is the way God conducts himself with us. If we let go, God will let go. And the Gemara goes on in Rosh Hashanah, page 17. There's a Yid Gimel Midas HaRachamim, right? You're supposed to say the 13 attributes of Rach over and over again. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed V'emes. Over and over again you say God, a loving, merciful, forgiving God, removing sin, etc. We keep saying that over and over again. When? On the High Holy Days. Why do we keep saying that in the book of Exodus? So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, God says, Kol zman she'Yisrael chotim, whenever the Jewish people sin, Asu lefana, yasu lefana kaseda zeh, let them do in front of me this procedure, vani mocha lehem, and I will what? Forgive them. What's this hocus pocus? What's a magic formula? Just because you say Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed V'emes, a loving, forgiving, graceful God who forgives sin, just for saying that, is that a magic formula? God will forgive you? What's so special about it? So if you look carefully in the Gemara, it doesn't say Amar Lefanai Kaseda Zeh. What does it say? Yasu lefanai. What does yasu mean?
To do.
To do. Vani mocha lehem. The Shlach HaKadosh points this out. The Alshech HaKadosh says it doesn't say Omar lefanai. It's not enough just to say the Yid Gimel Midas HaRachamim. The Gemara says yasu lefanai. If you act the way God does, forgiving, merciful, and kind, and gracious, even the guy doesn't deserve it. If you act that way, then God says, Ani mocha lechem, then I will forgive you. What are the 13 attributes of faith? Of Yid Gimel Midas HaRachamim. Mahu rachum afata. Mahu chanun afata. God is rachum. What does rachum mean? What does chanun mean?
Gracious.
So, it's not a magic formula. We say it so many times to inculcate into us the midah that we should be godlike. We should be kind, forgiving, and graceful, even when the guy doesn't deserve it. So if we keep saying it enough times, hopefully what? It'll sink in. So if we act that way, mahu rachum afata, mahu chanun afata. So then, ani moichol lahem. And then I will forgive them. If you act this way with a fellow Jew, yasu lefanai, not omer lefanai, yasu lefanai, then God says, I will act the same way with you. So this is an amazing formula that even without tshuva, if we forgive a person that wronged us unconditionally, even though we don't have to, he never apologized. But we go lefnim mishur asadin and we forgive him, even though the guy didn't do tshuva, he doesn't deserve it, but we forgive him, then you're guaranteed that God will act the same way with us, because midah keneged midah, Kodesh Baruch Hu always acts the way we act with our fellow human beings. That's pretty amazing. My Rebbe called this a shortcut to Gan Eden. If a person is a vatran, how do you say that in English? Mevater. How do you say that? Mevater. No, to give up. The Vater. If you're a Vatran, that's a shortcut to Gan Eden, even without tshuva. What's the classic example? This is a true story. My Rebbe told, Rav Ham Zatzal told this story about this very poor Rebbe, a few hundred years ago in Poland, very, very poor Rebbe. And they were scratching, making out a living, and didn't have even enough to cover their food bill. And Sukkot was coming. And in Europe, to get an Esrik was very, very expensive. And this rabbi couldn't afford it. So what's he going to do? So the Rebbetzin, she was a great-granddaughter of the Baal Shem Tov. What did she give the Rebbe for the chasana? The Baal Shem Tov's tefillin, as a present. That's what she gave. I mean, she couldn't afford a gold watch, right? What do you usually give, a gold watch to the chassan? What do they give?
Shas.
Gold watch, a shas. She couldn't afford that, so she gave her great-grandfather's tefillin, Hashem Tov's tefillin, and the Rebbe kept it. He didn't use it because he had his own. So the Rebbe is in a dilemma, right? It was Sukkos is coming up. Esrik, very expensive in Europe to get an Esrik. They had no money. So what did the Rebbe do? He sold the tefillin to buy this beautiful Esrik. Okay? So the Rebbe comes home, you know, Erev Sukkos. She sees the Rebbe with the gorgeous Esrik. She said, Rebbe, we don't have enough money even to buy the Yontif food. Where did you get money to buy this beautiful Esrik? He says, well, I'll tell you, sweetheart. Sit down. Remember that pair of tefillin you gave me 39 years ago as a natan? Well, I never used it anyway. I figured I need an Esrik, the tefillin I don't use. So I sold the tefillin to buy this Esrik. She said, what? What? You sold my Elta Zaydis tefillin to buy an Esrik? Well, we don't even have enough food for a proper yontif? How dare you? She took the Esrik, she bit off the pitim and threw it on the ground. You hear this? So, what did the Rebbe should have done? Remember Ralph Cramden? Bang, zoom, straight to the moon, Alice. I'm dating myself, the honeymooners. Bang, zoom, Alice. What did the Rebbe do?
Nothing.
He kissed her. And she fainted. Because she thought, bang, zoom. He kissed her. Why did he kiss her? He looked up to Hashem. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I lost my tefillin. I lost my Esrik. Do you think I'm going to lose my temper? No. The tefillin I lost, my Esrik I lost, but I will not lose my temper. That Rebbe didn't need no more Esrik that yontif. In fact, he never needed no Esrik ever for the rest of his life. All of his sins were what? Wiped out. He was able to overcome and not become angry when rightfully he should have. That you shouldn't have become angry, a normal person?
He should have done what he did. He's guilty.
What do you mean he's guilty?
He gave away the tefillin.
He didn't give it away. He sold it. It's his. It's his tefillin. She gave it to him. Yeah?
You don't do things like that.
You don't do
like grossing his.
What about the Rebbitzin? She did get angry.
What?
The place.
The Rebbitzin did get angry.
Well, she was rightful to get angry, no?
He was too.
What? You hear this, Michael? What's going on? Instead of sending her to the moon, he kissed her. She fainted. But meanwhile, he got Olam Haba. A ticket to ride, Moshe. It's called a ticket to ride, I think.
I think the Chofetz Chaim did the same thing with his second wife. She made him move the sukkah 3 times.
That's right.
Right?
That's right, Phyllis. And the Chofetz Chaim, his second wife. The Chofetz Chaim divorced his first wife.
Because he wouldn't move the
sukkah. He divorced his first wife, and he fixed her up with another shidduch. He said, it's not her fault, it's my fault. After divorcing his first wife, he fixed her up. The second wife made him move the sukkah 3 times. No, it's not good. He had a good. He didn't become angry. He wasn't a young man.
That's right.
Huh?
What happened? You just didn't get angry?
Didn't get angry.
He
what?
Just kept moving the sukkah for
her. Right. Right. It just didn't look right. So he kept, they didn't have in those days, they didn't have the sukkahs we have today, right? What did they have in those days? Those old doors. What?
You don't have men like that today.
They don't have men like that today.
Right?
Right? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They're better off moving it than if I moved it and
not the
garden said you better move it.
Yeah. Now, there's an amazing Gemara about Achov. Sanhedrin page 102. The Talmud says, Achov shokul hoya. What does shokul mean? Shokul mean his good deeds and his bad deeds were equal. Yeah. So the Gemara asked a statement, how could you say, Sanhedrin 102, that Achov shokul hoya? Shokul hoya, Rashi says, mechze avonot u mechze zechuyot. What does that mean? 50-50. Huh? Shokul hoya.
Mechze avonot u mechze zechuyot. He had 50% averot and 50% what? Mitzvah, the middle. So the Talmud asks, take a pill and lie down. How could you say Achav was mechza al mechza? It says in the Book of Kings, it says Rak lo hoyo ka Achav, ash ismake lasot hara be'ein Hashem, ash hisata oisay zevel ishtoi. It says in the Book of Kings, Kings 1, chapter 19, it says, there never was anyone as wicked as Achav. A king, okay. Who sold himself to do what was evil in the eyes of Hashem through his wife Jezebel, instigating him. You hear? Jezebel, the word Izebel. What does Zebel mean in Hebrew? She's a garbage lady. Jezebel. Izebel.
Is really such a person there?
Izebel, you hear this?
Jezebel.
So it says in the Book of Kings 19, again, there was never anyone like Achav who sold himself to do what was evil in the eyes of Hashem through his wife Jezebel instigating him. So how can you say that he was what? Mechzi al mechza. How could you say that he was what?
Half and half.
Half and half. He was the worst lowlife. So the Gemara says, Achav vatron b'memoinei hoya. Achav was a vatran b'memono. What does that mean? Achav vatron b'memono. He was foregoing with his money. He would say, keep the change. Keep the change. And he benefited Torah scholars from his wealth. He supported Torah scholars. And he was liberal with giving his money for tzedakah. Kipilo mechza. Half of his sins were forgiven. Even what? Without tshuva. That he almost made it to Olam Haba. Achav is one of the few kings that has Moshe in the world to come. He never did tshuva, but since he was vatran b'memono, and he gave tzedakah talmidei chachamim, kiproloi mechza. Half of his sins were what? Forgiven, even without tshuva. Why? Because he was a vatran. He was a vatran, and I don't know the English word to say vatran. Forgoing, the English translates liberal with his money. And generous, and because he benefited Torah scholars from his wealth, half of his sins were forgiven, even without tshuva, Sanhedrin, page 102b. Pretty amazing. Huh? Now the Gemara in Megillah, page 3 says, when Achav died, Arasha, the worst king, no share in the world to come. The Talmud in Megillah says that Achav had a great hesped. He had a great hesped. All the rabbis gave great speeches. Harold, what can they say about him? Yeah. Achav, you know the story. This Jewish gangster, I think Bugsy Siegel,
yeah.
when he was killed, the rabbi had to say something. The wife said, you have to say, because, you know, I'm giving you money. What can you say about Bugsy Siegel already? But he has to make a hesped. So the rabbi gets up and says, you know, his brother was even worse. What can you say? Gotta say something. So how come Achav had a bigger hesped than Ramosha Feinstein? Gemara Megillah, page 3. Achav had a hesped. The rabbis eulogized him to no end. What can you say about a lowlife like that? Who the Navi testified no one was as wicked as Achav. Kings 1, chapter 19. What did they say at his funeral? Look at the power of Vatranut. This Russia, he never did tshuva, but he was a Vatran. He was forgiving and liberal with his money and forgiving when someone wronged him. Half of his sins were forgiven, even without tshuva. None of us is as bad as Achav. Look at the power of Vatranut. That's what they said at Achav's funeral. How a person, if he's easygoing and foregoing, and not being exact with dishing out the way others treat him, you know, treat him badly, he doesn't return the favor. He acts liberally, forgiving and foregoing. Yiddish look pen a kuktavek. How do you say in Yiddish? A kuktavek. A kiktavek. A kuktavek. A kikt or a kuk. A kiktavek. Then God will kick avek. Ooh. That's what they said at Achav's funeral. The guy almost made it to Olam Haba. Even though he never closed but no cigar. But then you're talking about the worst of the worst. None of us is as bad as Achav. So we got it made in the shade. Who can say that his tshuva will be accepted? But we have a guarantee if we act with those that wronged and shamed us, if we act with grace towards them, even though when they don't apologize, and we forgive them, then we're guaranteed that what? Melva, that God will forgive us, even if we don't do tshuva. It's pretty amazing. That's what they said at Achav's Hespit. Wow.
But what did it get him? If he didn't get Olam Haba, what was the...
But he almost made it.
Almost.
Almost. Close, but no cigar. Mechza al mechza. Almost. Whatever it is, it's better than nothing.
What happens if you don't make it?
Rashi says half of his sins were forgiven. Sanhedrin 102b, even without tshuva, half of his sins were forgiven. Forgiven for what? Because he was a vatran. Shakul. What was good? Mechzas. He was Mahane Talmidei Chachamim. He benefited Torah scholars. He took them out for dinner. Took them out for lunch. Huh?
He let them live.
He bought them, a nice Chinese dinner. What did he buy them? What? A lunch special. I think it's called a business lunch. 49 shekels.
Hmm? So I have a question.
Go ahead.
What made him such a bad king then?
Because he was an Ovda Havodah Zarah, right?
Well.
He was worshipped idols. He spread idolatry through the land of Israel.
He didn't oppose his wife to kill a prophet.
His wife was, he was like, you know, I think the word is called henpecked. Henpecked. He wasn't such a bad guy. It was the garbage lady, the Zebel lady. Right? Blame it on the wife. What?
They can't allow her to take over.
What? Love her or leave her. But behind every good man, there's a better woman. And behind every evil man, what? What? Huh? Now, the Chofetz Chaim says something incredible on this idea. Do you remember when King David was running away from Avshalom? Avshalom, his son, started a civil war against him. Can you imagine that? Against his father. And he was chased out of the palace. You look in the book of Shmuel, right? And he was fleeing from Avshalom's forces. And as he was running away on Mount Harizasim, escaping from Jerusalem, Shimi ben Gera was the family of Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech, he lost the kingship. So he had a grudge against King David. Because the kingship was supposed to be his family. And the Navi says over there that Shimi ben Gera cursed the king with terrible curses. It's good for you, it's happening, you deserve it, you'll know good, Nick. Cursing the king, Shimi ben Gera. So David's bodyguard said, let me make him a head shorter. Literally. Cursing the king is a capital offense. Make him a head shorter. So what is David's response? Hanichelo v'yikalel. Leave him alone and let him curse. Ki omaloi Hashem. Because God told him to curse. Did God tell Shimi Megera to curse? Tola ve'inyan decheto v'loy b'Shimi Megera. David did not blame Shimi ben Gera. If someone's giving you a bad hair day, he's not your problem. What's your problem? Your sin. Sefer Chinuch has on this. My bechira can only affect me, not the one I hurt. Very important. Sefer Chinuch, a mitzvah, reish mem aleph, the key to the whole Jewish religion. David HaMelech said, let him curse, because God told him to curse. God never told him to curse. But if someone is giving you a hard time, it means that God is allowing him to give you a hard time. Tala inyan becheto. David said, it must be my sin. Otherwise, I wouldn't deserve this humiliation and shame. And not the Shimi ben Gera. So Rambam, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Bachya all say, a key in the Jewish religion, my bechira can only affect me. Not the one I hurt. If I choose not to, that guy would get the tsar anyway through another shliach. Har b'shluchem l'makom. You hear? My free will can only affect me, not the one I hurt. If I choose not to hurt that guy, God has many agents to deliver the package. If I do it, I have free will. I'll get punished for it. Wow. Shimi ben Gera will be punished because God has many agents. That's why. You should be an agent to deliver a good package. If you deliver a bad package, you can't say God made me do it. That's exactly what Cain said to God. When God said, why'd you kill your brother? What did he say? What did Cain say? You run the world. If you wanted Hevel alive, what? You'd still be alive. Right? You know, the Mendez brothers, they shotgunned their parents to death. And it's not a joke. And the lawyer said, they're orphans now. Yeah. Mercy! Yeah. And they got off. They got off because they're orphans now. It's not a joke. It's a sick joke. But they shotgunned their parents and they claimed that they're orphans now. Get it? So Cain said to God, you run the world. If you wanted Hevel to be alive, he'd still be alive. Right? If he's dead, that means what? It's your fault, God. So God said, listen, don't be a Weisenheimer. I wanted Hevel dead. He could have died in a skiing accident. Remember Sonny Bono? He went right into a tree. If you killed him, you're a lowlife for Rasha. You're going to get punished. We are free agents. Whatever happens, my bechira can only affect me. Ooh, not the one that I hurt. So if Cain chose not to kill Hevel, Hevel would have died in a skiing accident. People die in a bathtub, they slip, happens. You kill them, you're a rasha, you're going to be punished. So, the Chofetz Chaim said, the Zohar HaKadosh says, there, you know, God's divine chariot, this kisei, is made up of four, so to speak, wheels or pillars. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they are the four bearers of God's throne. Who's the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Who's the regular Revi? David. When did David become the regular Revi to the Merkava? You would think when he wrote the book of Psalms, right? Said the Chofetz Chaim. He wrote the book of Psalms and all the Torah that he learned. He did not become regular Revi to the Merkava. Only now, when he was Mevater on Shimi ben Gera, he said, Hanichalova Yikaleh, leave him alone, let him curse. David said, it's my fault, not his. Then did he become the fourth, how do you say, regular Revi Lamerkava? How do you say that, Moshe? Regular Revi Lamerkava. The fourth leg of God's divine chariot. For this act of Vatranut. Look at the power, says the Chofetz Chaim, of the Vatranut. All the Tillim that he said and he wrote and all the Torah that he studied did not make him the regular V. when he did this act and he allowed Shimi Ben Gera to live, when he could have executed him, this made David the regal Revi, because he was Mevater, uncredible. If Lefnei Mishur HaSadin, pretty amazing, huh? What?
He learned his lesson.
What do you mean he learned his lesson from what?
Remember when he was so hard on, when Nathan came and explained to him, and he was so hard on that man, and then Nathan says, that was you.
That was you.
So now he doesn't want to do that.
Uh-huh, that was you. That's right. Go easy on your fellow Jew, because the life you save, the way you judge others is the way God judges you. Be dan lekaschus. The life you save may be your own. Said the Baal Shem Tov. If you judge others harshly and very exacting, then you can expect God to judge you the same way. But if you are easygoing and forgiving, not judging harshly, making excuses, the guy's having a bad hair day, he takes it out on me, can't take it out on his boss. You make excuses for others who wrong you, then God will make excuses when you wrong him. The way we act with others is the way God acts towards us. If we are easygoing and forgiving and not judging others harshly, that's exactly the way God will judge us on Rosh Hashanah. Even without tshuva, it's incredible. The Baal Shem Tov says this, the Chofetz Chaim says this. Pretty amazing. What has it got to do with you didn't put on tefillin?
No.
Huh? What has it got to do with that? You're going to get forgiveness even without tshuva by being mevater when others wrong you. God will be mevater when you wrong him. That's pretty amazing. Huh?
Wonderful.
Now listen to this.
Jails, right?
What?
They can empty out all the jails and forgive everybody.
No, now Evelyn brought up a bomba kasha from Bombland. A person's mechalas Shabbos for Eidim v'hatra'ah. A person in the days of the temple's mechalas Shabbat. Witnesses testify, Bezdin will sentence him to be stoned. He does a tshuva gemura, he forgives everybody that wronged him, and he tears his hair out in tshuva. And he forgives everybody. Will Bezdin spare him?
No.
Mm-hmm. Ah, there's some justice there.
Different strokes. Bezdin shalmata, tshuva ain't going to help. The human court, you can be a mavater from today till tomorrow. Svetagunish helfen. A human court must punish the person. Tshuva, no tshuva, vater, forgiving. A human court has to punish. Well, what we're talking about here, Evelyn, forgiveness, that's Bezdin Shel Mala. Don't mix up Bezdin Shel Mata, Bezdin Shel Mala. Bezdin Shel Mata, tshuva can't help. It doesn't help. The human court must punish. The facts, remember Dragnet. Sergeant Joe Friday. Just the facts, man. The facts. I'm dating myself.
I remember that.
Remember that. What we're talking here, Esther, is Bezdin Shel Mala. The heavenly court. Not the human court. Two separate judgments. Vatranut. Forgiving, forgoing. Looking away, that will help you with the heavenly court. It does not help with the human court. Now, the Gemara of Vasa says something amazing. You got to look it up. You should believe. Godol ma shenema bi'iyuv yote mi Avraham. Iyuv was greater than Abraham. Say what? The Gemara of Vasa says, Iyuv in a way was greater than Abraham. Because it says by Iyuv, Job, Ishtam v'yasha yirei Elokim. Doesn't say that. By Avram it says, yirei Elokim ata. By Avram it says, you're a God-fearing man. By Job it says, Ishtam V'yashal yirei elikim. So there are more praises giving for Job than Abraham. Abraham gets yirei elikim ata. You're the ultimate God-fearing man. Job gets ishtam. What does that mean? The perfect man. Yashar. You ask anyone for directions in Israel. What do I tell you? Yashar, yashar, adasof. Yashar, straight, yirei elikim. So the Gemara asks, why does Eov get more praise than Abraham? The Gemara answers, Eov vatran b'memono. Eov was a vatran b'memono. What does that mean? He said, keep the change. Generous with his money. Vatran b'memono. He said, keep the change, and therefore the Tanakh has greater adjectives of praise by Eov. Abraham, it says, Yirei Elikim. By Eov, it says, Ishtam. Perfect, the Yashar, Yirei Elikim. Because he was a Vatran. He overlooked. He was a big tipper. Wow. Vatran. Overlooked. Now, why is Vatranut greater than Chesed, Moshe? Chesed could be an ego trip, a power trip. But if you're a Vatran, wow. You overlook, you forgo. If you're a Vatran, you're Marvel Medotav, then God will act the same way with you.
Could it be because he was an idol worshiper?
Who?
Achav? Yeah, that's why he was praised for...
Why was he praised for being a Vatran?
Also opened up his pockets. He paid for
not like Eov. Pretty amazing. In this respect, Eov was greater. Pretty amazing. Avram was the ultimate Isha Chesed. And yet Eov had this over him. That Vatranut is greater than Chesed. My Rebbe said, because Chesed could be a power trip, an ego trip. Vatranut, that's forgiving and forgoing. And there's nothing in it for me. Now, let me tell you a true story from Rav Tuvia Goldstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was there when he heard the story. He was at Rav Moshe Feinstein's house. True story. Rav Moshe had some Hasidim were against him. They said that his psak was very liberal. So a certain Hasid Jew slandered Rav Moshe. A smear campaign that he's being too liberal in his psak. He came out in the Hasidisha papers against Reb Moshe. You hear this? It's a couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. So this Chosid who smeared Reb Moshe in a smear campaign, he comes to Reb Moshe. Rav Tuvia Goldstein is there at the time. He's shocked. This guy who has a vendetta against Reb Moshe comes to Reb Moshe. So Tuvia Goldstein thought he came to what? To ask Mechila. Right? So Tuvia Goldstein asked him, because he was close to Rav Moshe, a colleague, he says, did this guy come to ask Mechila? Rav Moshe smiles and says nothing. So he asked him again, why did he come? He says, no, he didn't come to ask Mechila. He came to ask for a letter of recommendation. He lost his job as a mashgiach. And he came to ask for a letter of recommendation. Rav Moshe should recommend him for another mashgiach job. And he didn't ask mechila. You hear this? So Rav Tuvia asked him, Rebbe, Rav Moshe, did he ask mechila before he asked for the letter?
No.
Rav Moshe said, no, he didn't ask for Mechila. Did you give him the letter?
Yes.
Rav Moshe says, I gave him the letter. So Rav Tuvia couldn't believe it. The guy didn't even ask you for Mechila. He slandered you, forgiveness. He slandered you in the Hasidic papers in Brooklyn and Williamsburg. You're going to have the decency to ask you for Mechila, for forgiveness? And he had the chutzpah to ask you to give him a recommendation for another mashgiach job without mechila, and you what? You gave him the letter. Rebbe, what's wrong with you? So the Rebbe said, there's a Gemara that says, Yesh koino yolama b'sho achat. A person can acquire eternity in one moment of being tested. Rav Moshe said, quote, Efsher dos is mein sho achas. Efsher is dos mein sho achas. How do you say that in English? Efsher is dos mein sho achas. Maybe this is my moment. Yeah. Rav Moshe Feinstein was worried about his place in eternity. The greatest Posek Hador. And he said, I'm going to be a Vatran. Maybe this is my moment. Maybe this is my ticket to ride. Rav Moshe Feinstein needs a ticket to ride. Huh? Mavi Almedosov. If you can overlook, I give him the letter anyway. But Moshe said, I got it made in the shade. Pretty amazing. The whole pekel of Averot. We come Rosh Hashanah with all of Averot. The Midas Adin says, throw the book at you. But now, we know how to neutralize. What's another name for Midas Adin? Satan. How do we neutralize the Satan on Rosh Hashanah, even without tshuva? How? By being forgiving those who wronged us. Everyone has someone that wronged him through the year. And if you forgive him, even though the other guy doesn't apologize, you neutralize Satan or Midas Adin. And he can't throw the book at you. He lost his book. With all the charges, the bulging briefcase, he lost it. Misplaced it. Ooh. How to make the Satan walk away? How do we make the Satan walk away, Rosh Hashanah? How? If we walk away, we have a way of making the Satan not show up at the trial, Rosh Hashanah. People fight about all things. Let him have the Aliyah. I should have gotten the Aliyah. The Shliach Tzibi pushed me away out of the way. Let him have the Aliyah. Let him be the Shliach Tzibor. If you're Mevater, if you let go when others wrong you, you walk away, you guarantee that the Satan will what? Walk away on Rosh Hashanah. And if the Sutton walks away, the prosecutor forgot his briefcase with all the damning evidence. He forgot his briefcase. So who's left? The Ovar Rachamon. Ooh. Then I don't have to deal with Satan. I have to deal with my loving father. Ooh. I deal with my loving father. The judge is my father. Oh, my loving, compassionate father. Satan forgot his briefcase. The prosecutor doesn't show up. I only have to deal with God. Ava Rachaman. Pretty amazing. Now, easier said than done, you know. But it's just amazing that the way we treat others is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu what treats me. It's an amazing medrash. There's amazing medrash. In Pashis Vayelech, a couple of weeks, Vayom Hashem LeMoshe, God says to Moshe, Hein Korvu Yomecha Lamut. What does Hein mean? Behold, your days are approaching, you must die. That word, Hein, how do you translate in English? Behold, the Medrash says something amazing. 40 years ago, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vehein lo yaminu li." Remember God said, come to the Jewish people, be the Redeemer, they will believe you. What did Moses say? Nah, they won't believe. He said, "Vehein lo yaminu li." God said, you speak about my children, they won't believe? Mida keneged mida. Hein karvu yamecha lamut. You have to die in the desert. Because you did not give my Yidalech the benefit of the doubt, you said they won't believe, then you have to die in the Midbar. Pretty amazing. If Moshe would have given the Yidden the benefit of the doubt, says the Medrash, and not accused them of not believing, then God would have let him go. He could have come to Pisgat Zeb. It is Harold. But he was harsh with the Yidden. He judged them harshly. Didn't give them benefit of the doubt. Therefore Hashem said, Hein Korvi Yamecha Lamut, behold, you have to die in the Midbar. So, Vatranut. Pretty amazing. Huh? So there is a way to make a deal with God. Remember that, let's make a deal? Yeah. Pretty amazing. Let's make a deal.
So what happens if you don't have any sins?
What if you don't have no sins?
So if Rosh Hashanah comes out of Motzi Shabbat.
Right.
Motzi
Shabbat comes out on Sunday night this year, right?
On Shabbat, when you make Kiddush,
yeah.
On Friday night, with...
If you understand what you're saying, your sins are forgiven, right? Gemara and Shabbos.
So here you have, at Motzi Shabbat, you already have no sins.
But who says that the Kiddush, did you concentrate on the words of the Kiddush? Or you just mumbled it? Because
no,
you're smelling the gefilte fish. Your mind is on the chopped liver, not on the Kiddush. On the Friday night, there's no chulin yet. There is chopped liver, though, right? That works if you are concentrating and focusing on what you're saying. Otherwise, there's no magic hocus pocus. Just like the 13 attributes of mercy is not a hocus pocus. It's not Yomar Lafanai, Omar Lafanai. It's Yasu Lafanai. Yasu Lafanai, I say this there. A person has to what? Do it. To be compassionate and loving. Not just to say the words. So we say the words, hopefully if we keep saying it enough, we will inculcate into ourselves what?
These attributes.
Now, the end of the parsha, it says, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. Human being is compared to the tree of the field. Remember that? We just read it yesterday. Yesterday, all my child. We read, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. The human being, Harold, is compared to what? Why? Says the Maralmi Prague. I'll give you a demonstration. What do I look like? Says the Maralmi Prague. Human body looks like a tree. The body is the trunk. And the limbs are what? Branches. Pretty amazing. And just like a tree has to produce fruit, the tafkid of a human being is to what? Produce fruit. And just like a tree needs TLC to grow properly, you know, you have to talk to your plants. Not a joke. Otherwise they'll wither and die. Not a joke. You have to talk and pay attention to your trees and plants. Otherwise, they'll die. You can ask any scientist. A human being needs plenty of TLC, like a tree. Attention, loving care to grow properly. Now, a tree gives off fruit, right? Human being has to give off what? What's a human being's fruit? His children, right? Let's say a person doesn't have children. Can he still give off fruit? Huh? Rashin Pash is Noach. It says, Eile told us Noach, Noach ish tzaddik. These are the children of Noach. Noach was a tzaddik. So Rashi says, wait a minute. You promised to mention the offspring of Noach. And instead you say, Noach ish tzaddik. These are the children of Noach. Toldot means offspring. And it doesn't name them, it says Noach Ish Tzadik. So Rashi says, a person's true offspring are his what? Good deeds. Torah says, these are the Eila told us Noach, these are the children of Noach, Noach Ish Tzadik. That's his children? Says Rashi, yes. the Iker children of a human being are his mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim.
That's what he thinks to Olam Haba.
Because human children leave a person at the cemetery. Then they go to the lawyer's office to fight over the will. I mean, let's face it. But your spiritual offspring, what are that? Your mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, they don't leave a person at the cemetery. They accompany him along for the ride. So we have to be like a tree. We have to produce fruit, children, but even more that mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim continue to produce just like a tree. The human being is compared to a tree. But the Maharal Prague says something amazing. A tree has its roots where? In the ground. Human being has his roots where? In Shemayim. We are rooted in heaven. We come from heaven. And God plants us down here. That connects with the Haftorah. The Haftorah says, Evelyn, God tells Isaiah, Lintoya Shemayim. Our tafkid is to plant heaven. How do you plant heaven on earth? What? What we're doing right now. Studying Torah, doing mitzvot. That's how the Parsha connects with the Haftorah. The Parsha says we're a tree. And Yeshayo, God tells him, the tafkid of a Jew is lintoya shamayin. We have to plant heaven on earth. Our root is in heaven. God plants us here. Why? To plant heaven on earth. To bring the heavenly upon the earth. To infuse the entire physical world with Kedusha. Lintoya Shamayim. To plant heaven on earth. To do mitzvot and ma'asim tovim. To do mitzvot and ma'asim tovim. I always wonder, Doctor, the difference. Sharona, between a mitzvah and a ma'asim tovim, why does the Talmud repeat herself? You say mitzvot u'masim tovim. How do they differ? What does mitzvah mean? And what does ma'asim tovim mean? Isn't the mitzvah a good deed? Huh? Yeah, my question. The Talmud says mitzvot u'masim tovim. Our tafkid, Phyllis, is to do mitzvot
and
And good. How does it? Isn't the mitzvah a good deed?
There are negative.
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily. Not
always. Oh, so you're saying the mitzvah is the lo saseh, and the ma'asim tovim they are say.
Mitzvahs are commandments.
That's not a good deed.
Yeah, if you do it, sure.
So how do they differ?
Yeah, but a good chesed is to go out of your way.
Chesed is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah.
Not because God commanded you.
What?
You go visit a person that's sick. Hashem didn't command you.
Yes,
to
he did.
Yeah, but not.
The haftarayachol kamocha. When you go visit a sick person,
yes.
You're doing the haftarayachol kamocha.
Yeah, but not that moment.
Loving a fellow Jew. Yes, that moment.
That's
when you do a mitzvah, do you do it because it makes you feel good, or he commanded you?
Both.
Because
both.
He commanded you.
Also, it makes you feel good.
What's the most logical mitzvah of the Torah?
Logical.
The most logical, even the Yobangis do it. Even the Watuzis do it.
Oh, well, right.
Honor your father and the mother. Even the Aborigines do it. It says, Kabeit esavicho esimecho, kashetzivcho shem alekecho. Honor your father and your mother. The Torah has to add the words Kashetziv Hashem Alakecha. Because Hashem what? So the Netziv asked the question. Why by Kippur Dov? It doesn't say put on tefillin Hashem commanded you. Shake a lulav Hashem commanded you. I know Hashem commanded me. Why dafke by Kippur Dov the aim does it say Kashetziv Hashem Alakecha? Huh? Says the Netziv. Beautiful. Sharona. Not because the Aborigines do it, or the Ubangis or the Watuzis. Not because it makes you feel good. You have to do it. Kashetziv Hashem Elokecha. because Hashem commanded. The most logical, rational mitzvah that you might think you're doing because it makes you feel good, or you want to be worse than the goyim. No, you have to do it because Hashem commanded it. Pretty amazing. We have to do mitzvahs not because we think it's right, not because it makes us feel good, even though it does. We do it because He commanded us. So the most logical mitzvah of all, the Netziv says there, Hashem has to add the kicker, Kashetziv Hashem Alekecho. And therefore, even if your parents were not good to you, you still have to honor them. Because God commanded it. Just like He commanded to blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, He commanded you to honor your parents. But shofar blowing, I know He commanded me, otherwise I wouldn't do it. But honoring parents, I might think I want to do it, I want to repay the favor. They stayed up with me all night when I had the mumps. I remember I had the measles. They stayed up with me all night. That's why I honor them, Esther? No. Because God commanded me.
So what's the difference between
mitzvot and ma'asim tovim? So Sharon, I wanted to say mitzvot is ben odam l'makom, and ma'asim tovim ben odam l'chavero. My humble opinion. A mitzvah is between you and God, and a good deed is ben odam l'chavero. That's my humble opinion. Huh? You like that?
Yeah.
Take it or leave it. Mitzvah is ben odam l'makom and ma'asim tovim ben odam l'chavero. Okay? Zeh klal godol
b'Torah. Is it a mitzvah or a ma'asim
tovim? What? Oh, so Rabbi Kiva said Zeh klal godol b'Torah. That's the greatest mitzvah in the Torah. The Baal Shem Tov said there's a mitzvah to love Hashem. How do you love Hashem? By loving a fellow Yidl. Baal Shem Tov said it, not me. And the Baal HaTanya. How do you love God? By loving a fellow Yidl. It's a twofer. If you love a Jew, you're automatically loving what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who lives inside every Jew. It's a twofer. What? Because every Jew has a Telem Elohim. Every human being has a Telem Elohim. Right? The nefesh, the godly soul. Every human being has it. Right? So if you love a human being, you're loving God. The God, the part of God that lives inside the human being. The Telem Elohim, the Chelek Elohim Yimal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Todah Rabah.